Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. We're continuing our sermon series today on being in the world, but not of the world. For God has indeed called us to be unlike the world, to be people of heaven. And we've looked at several different themes of that. Today I'd like to look at how we are different from the rest of the world in terms of our purpose in life, of our reason for living, of a mission that God has given us. Because the world really has a different understanding of what life's about. When they talk about what their mission is, who knows? There's all kinds of different answers to it. I'm going to live it up. You only go around once. I'm going to die, so I maybe just eat, drink, and be merry. For tomorrow we die. Other people have other different themes as to what they want to live on, but nobody really knows, why am I here? What am I supposed to do? What's the meaning of life? But that's the world. Christians are totally different. We have a clear understanding and a word from God as to what we're to be about. God has given us, as His troop, a mission that we're to accomplish. Let's take a look at that, because God speaks to us through His holy word very clearly about this in 1 Peter chapter 2, where He says this, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's own people, that, in order that, you may declare the wonderful deeds of Him who calls you out of darkness into His marvelous light." You know, the world is always asking, what is the meaning of life? Why am I here? What am I supposed to do? God has just told you what you are supposed to do. Declare the wonderful deeds of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. And why? Because, as He says, once you were no people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. And so what are we supposed to do? Sit on our duffs with that? No, we are then to go out and share that mercy with other people. The salvation that's come to us, our commission is to go out and share that salvation with other people. So we're wholly unlike the world because we have a clear understanding of what we're supposed to be doing down here in the time that God has given us. And amongst the other good things that God has for us, like fulfilling our vocations honestly and being good parents and husbands and wives, etc. Well, let's take a look then today at this mission that God has given us to declare the wonderful deeds of Him who's called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. What do you think we need to know about that? What would God speak to today through me as His trumpet, as He blows me for the next several minutes? Plays His tune, His word. Well, the first thing God speaks to us today is that this is a mission, a directive, an order, and a command. A lot of people kind of treat this lightly. Oh, yeah, yeah. Once we're no people, now we're God's people. Declare the wonderful deeds. Yeah, missions, good. Yes, no, no missions, bad. Nobody's going to disagree that missions are good. But the problem is do you take that as an order? Do you take that as a command and a directive from God? Let me say something that may be a little shocking to some of you. I doubt it. But Jesus Christ is not a Republican. Jesus Christ is not a Democrat either. Jesus Christ is a king. And as a king, He has the authority to give orders. And this is what He wants for His church. Is every one of you an evangelist with a capital E? No, there are gifts. Some people are great evangelists. They're out there all the time. Others, evangelists with a small e. But every one of us is to be involved in this mission because we are a troop of God's army out there. And what is it? How does it happen in a kingdom? You know, in America, democracy, we vote what we want to happen. In a kingship, in a kingdom, the king's heart, his mission, his drive, his thoughts, his dreams are the dreams, thoughts, and hearts of his kingdom. And so we ought to share his heart. And what is God's heart? What is he doing in our days? Why has he not come yet? He's not come yet because he is still saving souls. Do you think for 1 minute God would wait to bring in his kingdom if he were not still saving souls? This is God's purpose in our days. As it says in Isaiah 49, it spoke in foretime of Christ. God said to his son, "It's too light a thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob to restore the preserved of Israel. I will give you as a light to the nations that my salvation may reach to the ends of the earth." So said God the Father to Jesus, our King, our Lord. But then, what does Jesus say to us in the New Testament? Jesus was a light to the nations, but then Jesus says to you and me, "You are the light of the world," right? Amen? You awake? You with me today? All right. "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. Nor do men light a lamp and put it under a bushel, but on a stand that all may see. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who's in heaven." So, in other words, if you are in the kingdom and you are a Christian, you are called out of the world to be God's own, you share the heart of the King. You share his mission and his purpose, and his command to us is not an option. It is declare the wonderful deeds. Declare the wonderful deeds. Declare the wonderful deeds of him who brought you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Spread that and proclaim that name. So it's a mission. But then I think next what we need for this is to have the eyes and the heart of a soldier when it comes to this command. When I was on my pastor's conference, I always get excited. Well, yeah, we get to hear the preaching of the word there, but I also get TV because I don't have TV at my home, cable TV. So I was watching a show while I was there for 3 days this week in Jacksonville, and I came across Tears of the Sun with Bruce Willis. Have you seen that movie? Yeah, okay, well, at least one of you. But at any rate, Bruce Willis is a Navy SEAL, and he is sent on a mission into Nigeria to rescue a nurse who is about to be surrounded by rebel forces that will kill everybody they see in her refugee camp. And he comes in there out of the night, full camouflage on his face, and he has that only Bruce Willis look with the intent, and he says, "I'm Lieutenant Walters. I'm with the U.S. Navy. I'm here to get you and your people out, ma'am." That is the picture, though, of what we are supposed to do. We are so directed and focused to the saving of souls, because without us, God's work cannot be carried out in the world. And as it says in the movie, the lives of many are in the hands of a few, and it rests upon their courage. Have you been sharing the Lord with other people, proclaiming his name? Well, one of the tricks that our adversary has against us is to say, it's a good thing to preach and be missionary and evangelistic, but it's not really that necessary. Just live and let live. They'll be fine as they are. Do you believe that? If the devil were to say that, would you believe it right now? No, but that is a lie believed by many Christians out there. Oh, we got Christ, but they'll be okay with their gods or in their lives. That'd be okay for them because the lost don't really need Christ. Well, let's hear what the scriptures teach about that. We got to affirm again today, is this mission really important? This mission is of the utmost importance. As it says in Acts chapter 11, Cornelius received a word that to send for Peter. And Peter says, and he told us how he had seen the angel standing in the house saying, "Send to Joppa and bring Simon Peter, and he will declare to you a message by which you will be," anybody know it? "Saved, you and all your household." Without the message, people can't be saved. Do you realize that? The weight and gravity of the mission that God has given to us. If they don't hear, they will not prevail on the day of the Lord. They will be swept away. As it says also in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, 14, Paul says the Jews of his day were hindering them from speaking to the Gentiles that they might be saved. If you don't have the word, then you will not be saved. And God has given us a mission saying, "Carry my word to the people." And guess what? The same as in the movie is with you, but in truth, the lives of many rest upon the courage of a few. Do you have that same courage? Well, I can think of some of the people that are out there in the world, they're happy, a lot of them, more or less. They have, for example, this guy who wrote the New Age book. He was happy for a while until it says here that while he was doing his meditations, one day after he'd been into it for 12 years, he was having a meditation where he saw divine light all around him and he felt unbelievably great. Then he says, another force stepped in and took me by complete surprise, and something was literally left me shaking for a week. A hand drew back the veil, and what I saw in his meditations was the face of devouring darkness. Behind the glittering outward facade of beauty lay a massively powerful, wildly churning face of absolute hatred and unspeakable abominations. For a moment that seemed like eternally, I realized that I was in major league trouble, for the devouring force was closing in on me. And then miraculously, that same hand, supernatural hand, delivered me from the jaws of the consuming darkness. And he found himself awake the next morning after his meditations and couldn't move, basically, for a whole week. You know, people out there today are dabbling in all kinds of things. Witchcraft, New Age, the Muslim religion, Hindu religions, animists religions. I had a friend at seminary who was from Africa who said down there where he came from that there were witches in every town. And that they would be putting spells upon people, and all the people lived in paralyzing fear of them. But what is our mission to people in this darkness? In all the other darkness of the religions of the world, God says, like he said to Lazarus, to the people around him when he called him from the tomb, unbind him and let him go. Is that your heart? The heart of a soldier? To go out into the world and say, unbind him and let him go. Unbind them. Because we've been given power over all the power of the enemy. And God wants us to go out with that power to accomplish his mission. And he says, I'm behind it. When I was at the beach yesterday, anybody go to the air show? Yeah, we saw the air show a little bit here on 2 days ago. And the jets were flying right over the roof of our church here. And even Vivian, when one of them roared over and blasted our eardrums, she jumped up, Yahoo, go! Yeah, remember that? You cannot but be moved by this power. Let me give you a little secret about evangelism that the world or the devil tries to get you with. It's not spectacular. It's not like an F-16 flying over your head, blasting you away, and that's what your flesh is going to love. Don't be deterred by the fact that the kingdom of God comes in hidden ways. This is something you got to wrap your mind around today. That when you are on a mission, it's a real life and death mission. That God has sent you into enemy territory to bring out the refugees. And your mission is to carry them out, come what may, life or death, to the shedding of blood, I'm going to get those people out. Because I'm with the U.S. Navy. No, I'm with God, and I've been sent to bring you and your people home into freedom. But the kingdom of God, we got to remember, comes in hidden ways. Jesus says the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field. He says it's like leaven which a woman went and hid in a loaf of bread till it was all leavened. It's like a grain of mustard seed which you plant and slowly grows up until it's huge and enormous. Jesus says, I thank thee, Father, that thou hast hidden these things from the wise and understanding, and revealed them to babes. Yea, Father, for such was thy gracious will. How did Jesus come into the world? With all resplendent power, like an F-16? People would have come and seen. No. But he came in with lowliness and meekness, in a stable, in a cave. He had nothing with him on his journey. Was he beautiful? He had no form or comeliness that we should look at him, no beauty that we should desire him, the scriptures say. So when God gives you a mission here, don't think it is insignificant or unweighty or unimportant simply because it comes in a quiet way. That's the way God works, right? God comes in quiet, mysterious, slow ways. But we got to remember that this war is bigger and more powerful than any F-16 fighter that flies by you. We are carrying on not a worldly war, but a divine war. And we have divine power to destroy strongholds. When I baptize people over here with this little water, does that seem insignificant to you? Do people come rushing to the beach? Droves of thousands to see, oh, let's see the baptism. No, that just looks like water. God comes in a quiet way. But nevertheless, the power of the Word is in it to save souls. Or how about in the communion, which you're going to have? Oh, it's just bread and wine. That's all I see up there. People walk up, they come back, they sit down. Nothing much happens, really. The kingdom of heaven's like treasure hidden in a field. God always in this world. Could He come in a big, powerful way? Could He draw crowds if He felt like it that way? No, but God has chosen to work through the humble, the meek, the lowly, the secret paths. But don't think because they're secret that they are insignificant or not powerful. They are indeed powerful. Naomi mentioned to me, we were at the air show yesterday, and you know all the planes, we enjoyed those, but then I was looking forward to the F-16, all right? I love that. That was beautiful. And it roared over, and Naomi's like, oh, it's scaring me. I wish another plane would come. And one guy behind me said, them dudes are really bad blank people, you know? He says, this is what I've come to see. But all the while, there was a little African-American boy sitting there with his little sandcastle, and the jet was going past us. He never looked up once. He just sat there playing with his little sandcastle, molding it together. Never once looked behind him to see this happening behind him. Well, guess what? The world wants the glory of a powerful outward display, but God is quietly making, and He's not concerned about that powerful display. Because guess what? To God, you know, all of our powerful displays is like building a little sandcastle. But what He has in this word, which I'm preaching to you, is the most powerful thing on earth. Wars fought by earthly armies can win earthly battles and can give you earthly life for a little while. This word coming quietly, like treasure hidden in a field, like a pearl in an oyster, comes to save your souls. And Paul says, by the hearing of the word, people are saved. The gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone who has faith. Let me try and experiment with you. Ready? Let me speak really quietly, and let's see how powerful this word is. He came to bear our sins. All we like sheep have gone astray, and the Lord has laid on Him the iniquity and sins of us all. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Did you hear those words? Guess what? They were quiet. They were not resplendent in beautiful outward display. But those words, if believed by you, heard and received, have the power to bring you eternal, everlasting life. And by them, God will raise you up to glory on the day of His coming. So, this is a hidden type of thing, but if we have a mission this year, let's not consider it just one of those things we do as the church, but a directive from God. Now, last year, we had this, remember? We have 1 year till Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday of next year. We're going to try to witness to 1,000 people. And I have the totals here, actually, for this year. We didn't quite make that goal, but total witnessing that was recorded was 166 people. Okay? I'm not saying that to your shame. We didn't make the goal, but it's 100% better than last year, right? But 57 of those were unbelievers. Two of them came to faith. Let me challenge you again this year. Between now and next year, Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday, first Sunday in October, would you do that again? To witness to 1,000 people? Do you think you can set your face like flint, like Jesus did? Like a hardened quartz? Like the Bruce Willis image I saw this week? Yes, I am from the United States Navy of Heaven, I'm here to get you and your people out, and nothing is going to deter me from this. Well, if you believe in that, let's say amen. Amen. I think we'll maybe get 300 out of that one. Let's try that. Let me only answer this if you really believe this. Do you really believe we can do this? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. 1,000 for sure. That's 100 of us here today, 10 people, each of us for the whole year, and we're there. But look, this is the mission, and I want to declare it to you one more time. For Jesus said, I must go to the other cities also, for I have was sent for this purpose, to preach the good news of the kingdom of God. If that's the king's heart, that's our heart too. And we got to set our faces like flint to hold on to that. And come what may, keep that mission before our eyes. For Jesus came to redeem us from our sins, to be a ransom for our iniquities, to pay your sin's debt with his own precious blood. And he's been raised from the dead, that you also may live with him. In Jesus' name, amen.